Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we're going to be getting into, you know, an interesting discussion around business intelligence. Some of us might wonder what that world is about, and we are going to be joined by, you know, an esteemed panel, of experts in that particular space. That is a company that specializes in that, that is IntelliNexus. We are actually joined by, you know, it's a very interesting discussion that we are looking to have, because we're actually joined by the incoming CEO, that is Zimkhitha Bua, together with Jacques Dupria, who is the outgoing CEO, but interestingly, he is the founder of IntelliNexus. So, you know, we have a leadership transition that's happening, I think one of the things that we would be, you know, keen to understand is what the nature of business intelligence was, when Jacques decided to, begin this venture, versus what BI looks like as Zimkhitha, takes the baton and carries this company on forward. So greetings to you both. I think I'm just going to start, over here with Zimkhitha, simply to, usher us into the discussion. IntelliNexus, usually we want to understand the context that you are coming from. I just want to understand, from your purview, when we talk about IntelliNexus, what is the 30-second elevator pitch, on IntelliNexus?
Thank you so much, Mudiwa, and we love the fact that we can talk to you about something that we're really passionate about, which is data. And so if I were to give you a 30-second elevator pitch about who we're really, really about providing a high quality level of technical depth and breadth when it comes to data solutions. And the problem statements and the solutions that we provide are really vast. So it could be from the time where you're looking at what is your data strategy to the time where you're looking at what are the solutions that you need to implement. And I think most importantly, it's also about the evangelizing in terms of the C-level exec to understand what is that business value that data can drive in your organization. I hope that was 30 seconds.
No, definitely. That was actually very good. I think the key piece that I took from there is, what type of insights can a business make use of, to take themselves forward. Jacques, maybe you could give us some insight into, your rationale when it actually came to starting something like IntelliNexus. What was happening, in your space? For you to say, okay, fine, this is something that I think I could strike out on my own and actually add value.
Thanks, Mudiwa. So my career started within the data space way earlier than IntelliNexus, around 2006. And the primary objective was to make data visible to decision makers so that they can make better decisions and inform decisions away from the gut feel, kind of guessing, kind of game. So it really got to providing the means for intelligent decision-making to happen in organizations. There's a bit of a mantra that I follow in terms of those organizations who make the best decisions are likely to succeed way above their competitors. So it's all around the data. So becoming data-driven is one of the passions and the ambitions we try and install into our customer base.
And maybe just as a quick follow-up, the word intelligence as it relates to business and as it relates to technology seems a little bit mired, where we are right now, because at the moment, one of the biggest buzz terms is the artificial sense of intelligence, that's your AI. And, through, I'm going to call it the 2010s, data science, data analytics, big data, were some of the common themes. obviously underpinned by cloud, you know, and all of these different tools that people have and make to make business decisions. You are at a stage where you are an outgoing CEO and you have someone like Zimkita who's now coming in. What prompts something like that? What's happening in the wider space that for you, you say this is a good time, you know, for me to pass on the baton?
So, yes, so there comes a time when organizations at a very high level, you know, the senior levels, are adopting these new great intelligence machine learning capabilities, which is merely augmenting their current environment, right? So because of the volumes of data and the velocity of the data coming from the big data stage, right? So it's augmenting that capability. It's making it simpler. There's more sort of assisted intelligence in that in terms of from a human perspective to a machine perspective. And I think the important thing to note about Zimkita's appointment is being able to have those very serious discussions around data at those levels, you know, engaging and advising boards and directors and C-levels around that, because there's the greatness of AI and ML, what it offers, but there are also the dangers of that. One needs to really understand, you know, when you get into the ethics and the moral component around what we're doing with these technologies. And I think there are some very serious conversations to be had at those levels. And Zimkita has definitely aspired to have those conversations in the data journey, because it's more than just the underlying databases storing the data. Mm-hmm. You know, it's what is it doing? What is it doing to us for from a business perspective? And you know, the human element around that. And those are very important discussions to be had.
Yeah, and I think what I was going to add, what Jacques didn't mention, is the fact that Jacques and I were running around in the BI circles 2009, 2010, because I actually started my career in the BI space. And so we would present at conferences about, you know, some of the insights that we've gained from the projects that we worked on. And we kind of threatened. And when we started chatting at the end of the last year, it just became evident for both of us that we were in the right space, because what we found is that the very same issues that we discussed in 2009 were still very relevant to today. You know, people talking about how do we generate new revenue streams from the data? What are the right questions to ask? You know, BI or analytics is still very much IT driven and not business driven. So really, why has the needle not moved? So those were some of the conversations that we started having last year. And so we both came to the understanding and agreement that actually, the topic of data in the organization has to be elevated. I actually just came back now from a meeting with the client, and they struggling with the same issue. How do we elevate data to be part of those boardroom discussions for executives to actually understand that when you're investing in a data transformation program, it's not just about the plumbing and the technology, whether it's a cloud solution or even the data visualization tools. It's really about creating competitive advantage and an edge for your organization. So those are the, I guess, some of the underlying discussions that we passionately have with the team. And now we're hoping that we can have the same conversations with our clients and even in an ecosystem perspective. So this data domino effect that I always talk about is how do we create better visibility for the benefits and the value that data can bring to organizations. Sorry, a bit long-winded, but I just thought that the context would help as well.
No, I appreciate that context. And I'm actually going to pose something to you, maybe a little bit controversial, but, you know, keen to get your thoughts here. Right now, we're in a moment where, obviously, the AI discussion is quite topical, you know, very much top of mind. ChatGPT late 2022, lots of hype. you know, and investment through 2023. And now in 2024, we have a lot of businesses actually, you know, trying to figure out what are the specific use cases that they can use, you know, AI for. My question is, maybe I have the privilege of understanding some of what happens in the background for an AI system to work, but it seems a little bit contradictory that someone like you is still talking to a lot of corporates that are trying to elevate the data discussion, and yet those same corporates profess publicly that they have AI strategies. It doesn't, at least for me personally, maybe I stand corrected, but it doesn't make sense to me that you can have an AI strategy without having an underpin, you know, of data.
Right. And that is the discussion that we want to have with the ecosystem. Is, guys, let's be real. Okay. You cannot have a flashy AI strategy if your data governance is not in place, if your data security is not in place, if your understanding of where the sources of data are residing and how you bring those together. If you don't have the building blocks, you're kidding yourself. You can throw as much investment as you want into an AI strategy. You are not going to realize your ROI for that strategy. So your basic foundational aspects are all tied into your data. Because remember, these you know, these AI strategies all come from algorithms. What is the input into these algorithms? It's the data. So if you're throwing inaccurate data, if you're throwing data that hasn't been cleansed, it hasn't been governed, it hasn't been secured properly, you are not going to get the results that you're looking for. So that's why when we talk about this data domino effect, it's about having these real conversations with leaders to say, yes, AI is the new flashy toy in the market, but realistically, for you to have any kind of value from it, you have to have the right foundation. Jacques, I know you feel passionate about this topic, so maybe you can chime in. Yeah.
So you know, with every hype cycle, there comes the experimentation. So a lot of these organizations are not in the experimentation side. Yeah, they're proclaiming that they've got AI, and they're still actually trying to ratify a lot of those use cases. Where AI could be predominantly be found or traditionally within financial services industries, because data science and that's not new to them, having actuaries that came back from the 80s, right? So, but now it's becoming mainstream. Mainstream meaning that it's becoming a playground for almost everybody. So we had the citizen data science as a sort of persona and so forth. But, you know, typically in a manufacturing environment and retail, where and how can AI assist those organizations? Because that intelligence primarily was born out of the financial services industry. So it's trying to find its place in other sectors and industries, right? So it's a lot of experimentation, trial and error, you know, trying to prove, because the key point to make here is to what Zimkita said, you can throw a ton of money at this, right? But you're not guaranteed that it's going to work, because just because it was a great idea doesn't mean it's a good idea, right? In terms of from an investment perspective. And that's where I think a lot of organizations are trying to dip their toes in to try and find that ultimate use case where there's going to be value. Because there's no point in embarking on a 50 million rand or 100 million rand AI project and it only produces 2 million in return. That's not a good investment. So there's a lot of experimentation going on. So kudos to the organizations who are claiming the AI, but I would limit them to very specific ones. Yeah.
Perhaps as a quick follow-up, keen to get your thoughts, both starting with Jacques. In the current environment, you'd almost, of course, you guys have quite well articulated that there's that symbiosis, you know, that exists between the data and the AI, right? But it sort of feels as if the discourse around AI is that it's it sort of soared as if it can do both, especially the business intelligence part. At least that is the impression that, you know, one is sort of gets the way that some of the way that certain executives talk about their use of AI or how they hope to be using AI is to say this thing is just going to tell us everything we need to know about how to, you know, push our businesses forward, how to make money, and, you know, how to make the best, you know, of our resources. You know, your take on that, starting with Jacques.
So that will largely depend in terms of, because AI doesn't at this point educate itself, right? It doesn't build it. It doesn't build itself. It's human built, right? So there are certain biases that exist. It's the correct use of the algorithms, and I think the flutter at the moment is mostly around large language models. So so it provides good stuff. ChatGPT has brought some opened a whole new world with regards to LLM, and a lot of product vendors, you know, technology vendors are incorporating the large language model component into their platforms. However, it still does. It's not the silver bullet, right? It's an aid. And I think that's where some of the disconnect is in terms of it's an assistant. It's not the be all end all of any solution at the moment. Now that intelligence will develop over time, but in actual fact, AI in its today's form is still very, very young. It's infant. It's infant in terms of where it is.
Yes, and I think, Jacques, I mean, a classic example is what we were looking at last week around the co-pilot for Power BI as an example. You know, you can tell, you can just ask it a question and say, look, what are the top 10 customers in the Western Cape region? Now, if your underlying data, and I still want to come back to this, if your underlying data in your model is incorrect, the co-pilot is just going to tell you what's there. So the ability to have an improved data accuracy doesn't lie with the AI. It lies with the underlying data. So in my view, you definitely are not going to solve your data governance or even data accuracy challenges with just AI. There's a lot more that needs to go into it, and it's that foundation that I was referring to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it is a very interesting one, and I'm glad that, you know, we are at this point. It's always great when you can get into the weeds, you know, around some of these topics, because I think, you know, we're here to educate, you know, just around what's going on. But maybe just switching gears a little bit, Zimkita, you mentioned earlier on that, you know, you and Jacques have been running around in the BI circles for a number of years. I think prior to this conversation, I was doing my own research, and I noted that at least officially, you've been dealing with BI for close on 20 years, right?
Yes.
And obviously right now, and I like the fact that you're also talking about the fact that, you know, something like AI is the new flashy thing, right? But what I wanted to get the sense of at the core, when it comes to going to businesses, analyzing their processes, analyzing their data sources, arranging those data sources, making sense of the data, and actually intuiting, you know, how a business should be dealing with a certain problem. Has anything changed in 20 years for you?
I think what's changed are also the solutions that have come into the market. I mean, if you look at one of our partners, Snowflake, completely born in the cloud, so not your traditional BI platform. I think we've definitely evolved in terms of the solutions, the investments that have gone into developing these incredible platforms. And so we're also proud to be the first premium partner for Snowflake in the region. And we're seeing a lot more interest from clients saying, look, I've got a traditional data warehouse. It's costing me a fortune. I can't maintain it anymore. It's not scalable. I can't throw more resources at it. Come help me map out what my cloud journey should be like. So those, I think, are the definite changes in the ecosystem since I was around. Because remember, we were still dealing with the traditional BI stuff. But on the other end, the softer issues that we were dealing with 20 years ago around adoption, around resistance to change, around understanding the value of BI in the organizations, those have not changed. The needle hasn't moved there. And that is where my focus is going to be. And those are the conversations that we're starting to have with our clients now.
And maybe let's dive a little bit deeper into that focus, right? When a new CEO comes in, there's always where we've been and where we want to go. Right. Where do we want to go with IntelliNexus? Is it doubling down on I guess core strengths and, you know, making sure that you guys are able to scale those? Is it getting into new business areas? How are you thinking around strategy?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, Jacques and the leadership team have really done well to create this incredible technical capability. But now we definitely need to firstly double down on that. And then I think secondly is to get into those boardrooms, because I think in the past, as I said, analytics was very much tied into a technical conversation. So technical stakeholders selling to your technical teams. But now it's saying, how do we move the dial and actually get into the boardroom discussions? But at the same time, it's also saying, look, we don't have to restrict ourselves. We largely, playing in the South African market right now, but we're starting to have conversations with the rest of Africa. We've got conversations going with the UK and also the Middle East. But we want to take our local technical capability and really, really make that available on a global stage. Because I just think that also we need to create impact. We want to create new job opportunities for young people. So in terms of our skills development, we want to double down on that as well. So, I mean, the growth opportunity is vast, which is why I joined IntelliNexus, because I could see that there's immense opportunity in the market and the time is ripe now for us to make that and also execute on the double-double strategy. So doubling our revenue, doubling our profitability, doubling the headcount and doubling the impact that we have in the region.
I like that double-double strategy. Jacques, between when you started and now, perhaps it's an unfair question, but it is a real question. What do you make of your tenure as CEO?
And
what
don't be mate? Shy, Jacques. Don't be shy. You're going to be shy.
Yeah, the team asked me the other day in terms of... don't be humbled, get it out there, you know, acknowledge your achievements. So, you know, starting IntelliNexus with one employee being myself and growing it to a force to be reckoned with in the market, right, in a 6-year, 7-year space, right, with a lot of accolades to our belt. You know, we've covered many technologies, we've covered... we've got a prestigious client base, you know, all blue chips. And developing a team and growing the technical capability around that over a couple of years, you know, also being involved in community projects, you know, the lighter side of things. So it's been a very rewarding journey for myself, right, up until today. I'm humbled by the opportunity to present, you know, create jobs. I mean, that's one of the ambitions in terms of, you know, I like these quirky sayings, you know, so you make a living by receiving and you make a life by giving. So I think that's what it's all about in terms of at the end of the day is the marriage between the balance between the two in terms of building a business, creating jobs, serving customers. And then getting into the I mean, our country is in dire need of economic change, right? And we can only affect that change if we change ourselves, right? So, and there's a lot of passion that goes into, besides just data and being in the data space. You know, it's got so much to give. It's so much to give. And those are the things that sort of really doubled me down in terms of, you know, it's not just a job, but there's a real purpose behind this.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think the fact that Jacques could recognize that the business is at a point where he now needs to focus on the technical side and bring in someone else to kind of take the organization forward to the next phase says a lot about the kind of person that he is, you know, being able to have that honest conversation with yourself and also being able to let go. I mean, this is essentially your baby. You started it. And now trusting someone else enough to say, Zim, I trust you enough to take us to the next level whilst I focus on building out the technical capability of our organization. So, you know, a lot of, I think, achievements and milestones throughout the years since we started. And now I guess it's up to me and the rest of the team, also with his help, obviously, to look at what the future looks like for us, which I think is positive, and there's definitely opportunities for growth.
Now, where we come from, yeah, the world of finance, you know, specifically, you know, the world of Business Day, you know, Financial Mail and the like, we tend to have people that want to understand the nature, the size and the scale. And I think Jacques, you know, had started painting a picture of, you know, a company that has, you know, blue chip clients, has been able to grow in terms of employees and revenues. But maybe Zimkita, you could fill in some of the gaps because, you know, Jacques is, you know, quite humble, you know, as he was saying just now. Maybe you could give us a fuller picture, you know, of, you know, the size and scope of IntelliNexus's operation right now.
Yeah, so I mean, if you think about our presence at the moment, we are obviously in South Africa. We do have IntelliNexus Ireland that we are looking to service clients and partners in the EU from. And as I mentioned, we're looking at expanding into the Middle East and the rest of Africa. In terms of, if you're looking for exact numbers around headcount, we're bordering on about 40 at the moment. And really that varies in terms of skill set from our senior architects right down to the junior interns that we have that we're hoping to absorb into the organization. From a client-based perspective, I mean, we across every single industry that you can think of. Our largest contributor at the moment in terms of industries is probably the financial services sector as well as retail. So I can't go into detail around our financials because we are a privately owned entity, but I can tell you that we are hoping to grow probably around by 50% in terms of our profitability within the next 2 years, which is very much possible just based on the momentum that we have at the moment.
Okay. I think that definitely gives us, you know, a much fuller picture, you know, on that side. Of course, understanding that you guys are private, so certain disclosures, you know, yes. you cannot be giving. There are a couple of things that I am curious about, though. The headcount, for example, not the number, but what I'm more concerned about is the skew in terms of the skills, right? What's filling the ranks, you know, at IntelliNexus? Is it, you mentioned architects just now, but at the same time, one of your strategic imperatives is to grow, you know, the user base, whilst at the same time, you know, elevating, you know, the conversation to that, to the C level, right? So is it salespeople? Is it architects? Like what's, you know, because where companies, staff, you know, complement leans towards sort of shows you, you know, how a company's thinking about their capability.
So can I answer that? Can I?
Yeah, sure.
Go for it.
Yeah. So, because it's something that's hidden in my modesty hat. what we found since inception of Interinexus and from historic experiences that companies turn to us because of our expertise, right? Mm-hmm. Our know-how. And that is supported by our senior layer of technical consultants, right? From principal consultants in a variety of forms, architects, solution architects, data architects, and so forth. So it's really driven from that demand where that comes, because our customers really expect the best technical expertise from us. But we, over time, have realized in terms of, you know, scaling that is because it's very difficult, because we've got a skills shortage in the country. So what do we do to do this? Yeah. So we engage with our sort of lower consultant, junior consultant levels, and we're a community within ourselves. And we elevate and we train and we collaborate with our own internal people. There's we've got a principle in terms of you're never alone. There's always somebody that asks. So we help and develop these skills so that we are sort of generating the next generation of senior consultants within our space, right? Because that's where our demand is coming from our customers. And I think that's that philosophy of keep on developing and training up skills and having, you know, sessions specifically around that. So I think that's where our differentiation also comes in terms of taking what Zimkita is going to be doing at boardroom level, because something that we do extremely well is to translate those business data strategies into technical environments. So we do the translation of that very well. That's why we can build, and hence why the customers come to us, is because we can do that translation in terms of, you know, I've got this great idea or great initiative that I need to run, but how does that translate technically into what's going to support this and make this work? Right? So mm-hmm. I think that's where, how I can position that with you.
Okay, very nice. Zimkita, anything to add on this point?
I think Jacques has mentioned it all, but one of the conversations that we're also having with our ecosystem is how do we create a broader ecosystem of partners that we can also grow through? So we don't have to have an entire sales team internally, but we can have the right kind of partnerships that can bring that scale that we might not be able to bring ourselves. So those are the conversations that we're also having in the market, and they're going quite well. So within the next couple of weeks, you'll probably hear more in the media around the specific partnerships that we have been intentional about.
Perhaps maybe to glean a little bit more insight, you know, on the partners, you don't have to tell us about, you know, this specific partnership initiative that you're talking about. Of course, we'll wait to hear about that. But up until now, what's the relationship with partners? And I ask because, you know, in certain cases, companies that are related to technology will sort of have, I guess, a different orientation to partners. Some people will have, let's say, a particular solution, you know, perhaps as Intellinexus, you have a solution and you are driving it through the market through partners. In certain cases, maybe you are partners to people that have a solution. I think you mentioned Snowflake, you know, earlier on. And then in certain cases, you might have partners that perhaps augment a particular, you know, type of skill. You know, perhaps you're like, you know what? We are very good at data, but, you know, perhaps it's not incumbent on us to have like a full team, you know, of cloud architects. Every once in a while, we have a partner firm that comes in and, you know, helps us with that capability, and then we'll move on. So just keen to understand that particular dynamic.
So yes, thank you. So I think we've been quite clear about the fact that we're positioning ourselves, especially in terms of our solutions. They have to be cloud solutions. So a lot of the partnerships that we have at the moment, where we are the partner to the OEM, have very much focused on cloud. Our tier one or our biggest alliance at the moment is Snowflake. And as I mentioned, we are about to announce our premium status with them. And it's really been a lot of investment that we've made around the certifications, around us, co-investing in certain events as well, and ensuring that our clients are getting the best in terms of our technical capability. So I think our strategy is to grow that and also to focus on certain channel partners as well. So it's a bit of both. It's us being a partner to the OEM, but also looking at the broader ecosystem of other partners that we can bring into that. I hope that makes it clear.
No, it certainly, it certainly makes it clear, because one of the things that I've, come to appreciate is that, in the world of business analysis, the world of technology, consulting and the like, our partnerships are a key part, of the business. So I'm usually curious to understand what the orientation is, how are the partnerships being used by a specific organization? Where do they fall in a particular ecosystem or, stream? Are you upstream, downstream? Where are you, in that, in that particular ecosystem?
And Modiwa, we're very clear with our clients around where our capabilities are. So there are instances where, for example, a client might be looking at Snowflake. However, there might be a need to have a more stringent or more detailed data security discussion, as an example, data masking, data governance, data encryption and prevention of data leakages. So we might bring another partner. So really the conversation that we have with our clients is that we want to bring the right ecosystem for you and be able to piece that together for your benefit. So we're not just going to stick with one partner just because we want to push that down the client's throat. We are about bringing the best solutions for the benefit of the client. I see Jacques is nodding, so I guess he's happy with my answer.
There we go. There's definitely a sense of agnosticness around that, because it's about what is best for the client, right? If you stick to one vendor, then that's for the vendor's benefit, right?
Yeah,
it's what's best definitely. For the client.
All right. So as we are landing this discussion, I wanted to maybe touch on 2 points, for one for each of you. Jacques, on this platform, one of the things that, understandably, we're always curious about is funding. And by funding, we mean you started in Intellinexus a few years ago. So curious to know, how did you fund your team of one back in the day, to grow it? Was it, did you have to get any external funding, or were you able to sort of bootstrap until you got to a revenue generating, point of view, and then, grow the business to be where it's at? And the reason I even ask is because Imkita was talking earlier on about the double-double strategy. And one of the metrics that's being doubled is profit, which means that, you reached this, a position of profitability. So just curious, just around your journey, from being a single employee to profitability.
So Intellinexus is self-funded. I accumulated some savings out of a previous venture of mine, and then applied that sort of funding towards developing Intellinexus. So, because typically when you start up, in year one, it's very tough. Just enough to, keep the lights on and pay the bills. And then went into just pure customer acquisition in terms of landing opportunities with customers and starting to develop the capability out there. I mean, we've had some very very good relationships. We still do today have very good relationship with our customers. And, you know, when you've got a compelling story to tell and an offering on the table, they're likely to turn to you for that. And we basically just ran the business as a tight ship from a financial perspective, because we fund our growth ourselves. And that's quite viable to do up to a point. Right? So I think when you go into the scaling part, when you're really exponentially scaling, we will turn to most probably a few alternatives to look for finance. May it be institutional finance or whatever the case may be. That's still undecided because we're still growing quite organically and fast. And we're able to sustain that growth in terms of financing it out of prior profits, you know. So just managing it very well, just managing it very, very well.
Okay. Now, certainly happy to hear, you know, that, because my experience with any business that has an element of technology and you're also scaling in terms of people is that your cash burn, you know, can be quite a headache. You know, to figure yourself around. So it's always great to get some insights into how different operators are going about, you know, balancing some of those needs, especially where you've got limited financial resources. Zimkita, for you, I think just to end off the conversation, I think it has been a really great and insightful, you know, type of discussion. My question, maybe it puts a nice bow around everything that we've been speaking about today when it comes to business intelligence. The data is great. The data can do a lot. But sometimes the execution isn't great. Where does the execution go wrong? Because I'm sure this is one of those things that you might have to be tackling, you know, in your role going forward. It's great to have, you know, to go and, you know, glean these insights and tell a particular client, this is what you need to do. But this is what you need to do versus we've succeeded because of what we were told we need to do is a different conversation altogether.
I think it's misalignment. So we've had multiple conversations as well around this, is the expectation from business versus the implementation and the perceived value from IT. So how do we get that alignment to be in sync from the time the project starts? So instead of the business saying, this is what I need, going off for 18 months, building it and coming back, how do we get incremental value or show incremental value and consistent alignment between business and IT? I think if we can bridge that gap, we can reduce this what we call this Wild West notion of people building their own silos businesses or the business area being so frustrated that they eventually get their own IT service provider. The areas that are seen to be the softer areas of communication, of getting alignment, of evangelizing the business, of working together, those are the issues that trip us up and prevent us from implementing successfully. So if we can have proper solutions for that, that's where we'll see the success of these major data transformation projects. Thank you.
All right. So that's where we end off for today. It has been a really great discussion around business intelligence. In essence, you know, I would say that you're looking at, you know, the field that is trying to help businesses, you know, by making use, you know, of data sources within a business and using that as a way to inform strategy or to inform the steps that a business can take to either grow grow or implement, you know, a particular issue or, you know, address a particular challenge. Very interesting to hear, you know, just, you know, the fact that at the core, a lot of the same issues that Zimkita and Jock were dealing with, you know, as early as 2008, 2009, you know, still exist today. But, you know, there's been huge advancements in terms of some of the solutions that are out there. That was one of the points that Zimkita made, to say that at least on the solutioning front, there have been, you know, some good advancements. If you look at a platform, you know, such as Snowflake, I think she mentioned the point that that has been a cloud native, you know, type of platform, and that sort of changes, you know, the way that they would normally have engaged with clients and gone about with their implementations. And it's also, I think, one of the key things that was great to hear from this discussion, you know, is, I think this is probably one of the few times I've gotten to interact with an outgoing CEO and an incoming CEO, and to sort of, you know, to sort of get a sense of where the organization has been and where the organization has is yet to go. Jacques is a little bit humble, but, you know, clearly there's been a lot of good progress. We are in a space where, at least, you know, in the startup space that I look up, that I look at a lot, especially technology startups, there's a lot of pressure on those types of businesses to reach profitability. So when you have a company like IntelliNexus, which is not a startup, you know, but is operating in the technology space, reaching that point of profitability, it gives other technology related businesses, you know, impetus to say, hey guys, this thing is possible, and that you can actually implement strategies that, you know, get you to that point. And then I think the last point that I would just highlight, we just heard that from a strategy point of view, key is someone like IntelliNexus is trying to make sure that the conversations around business intelligence are being had at a C-suite level, and that it's not constrained to simply being an IT, you know, type of discussion. Zimkita mentioning the fact that there's a double-double, you know, strategy that is going on. I think they said doubling headcount, doubling revenue, doubling profit. And I know there's a fourth one.
Impact.
Yes.
You did well.
That they'll be dealing with. So that's been it. Thank you so much. We were with the team from IntelliNexus talking to Zimkita Bua, who is the incoming CEO at IntelliNexus, together with Jacques Dupria, who is the outgoing CEO, and he's also the founder of the firm and will be in the role going forward as a chief operating officer. Jacques, Zimkita, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for the opportunity and the great discussion.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.